Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Leanne Parsons, the Walk Your Talk Coach. Thank you so much for tuning in with us this afternoon. I am coming to you live from Los Alamos, New Mexico. My travels that I was on last time we spent time together are over, and I am back in Los Alamos enjoying some beautiful sunshine on a warm late summer day. I am the CEO of La Dolce Vita Coaching, again, the Walk Your Talk Coach. And I love coaching. I love coming to you live and talking about these topics that sometimes people are a little bit nervous to talk about. And so that's what we're going to do today. And I am joined by a fantastic, wonderful woman who is local here with me in Los Alamos, and her name is Deb Worley. And so, Deb, thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, you're welcome, Leanne. Thank you for inviting me to be on your show.
Absolutely, Deb. So being as our topic is identity, and we are going to talk all about that today, why don't you take just a moment and tell us, who are you?
Well, there are many answers to that question, depending on the day and the situation, but certainly I am a wife. My husband, Chris, works at the laboratory here in Los Alamos, and I am a mother. We have three relatively young kids who are, my daughter is 11, and we have two sons who are 9 and 7. I am a daughter myself. My parents live in upstate New York, and I'm a sister. I have a brother and a sister myself. I'm an aunt and a niece and a cousin, and I'm a pastor. I'm ordained in the United Church of Christ. And let's see, I'm a volunteer sometimes. I'm a friend. Many, many different things, as is the case with everyone, I'm sure. But Leanne, first and foremost, and before all of those things, and underneath all those things,
Oh, there you are. Go ahead. Say that. First and foremost piece again.
Before, underneath all of those things, first and foremost, I am a child of God.
Beautiful. I love that. And as two women who are a child of God right here in New Mexico, I would love to talk some more about that and all the different areas of your life that have really defined you. Because oftentimes in our lives, the circumstances, the people, the different opportunities that we've been able to walk through really do define who we are. And your beautiful long list of your accomplishments, your life experiences, those really do define you. And so we are going to just really jump into that today. And so thanks for your courage to be vulnerable, be here with us today, and really chat through this. And so for our callers, I just want to go ahead and share a phone number with you that if you would like to call in and ask a question of either Deb or myself, Leanne, or if you want to offer your thoughts on this topic or just hear a friendly voice, you can go ahead and call in. Our call-in number is 646-716-9397. And I am one of 40 very privileged coaches to be part of the Life Coach Radio Network that is able to come to you via Blog Talk Radio. Each week, I am on 2 times a month, and I'm very privileged to be able to share this airspace with you. You can find more information about me on my website, so if you want to tune into that while we're chatting today, you are welcome to do that. It is www.walkyourtalkwithleanne.com, and Leanne is spelled L-E-A-N-N-E. You can also find me on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn by Leanne the Coach. So there's all our kind of formal housekeeping that needs to get done here before we really jump in. And, you know, listeners, I want to invite you in. This is going to be a really fun, casual, very real conversation between Deb and I, as we are both women who truly do love our Savior and Creator. We love people. We love our families. We love our community. And we really fully desire to embrace who we are, why we're here, and answer a lot of those questions that can pop up for us as we go through our everyday lives. You know, Deb, it's kind of fun when you shared about having small children. And I can imagine that you and your children have seen the movies Toy Story.
We have seen all three movies, I believe. Yes, we have.
Okay. Well, me too. And it's been a while since I've seen them. But, you know, there was something that really stood out to me when I watched those movies. And one of the most poignant moments in each movie for me was when the key character looks at its foot and he sees Andy's name scrawled on there. And it was a huge reminder, right, to me that we all need to be able to know who it is that we belong to, who we are. We all have that need. And, you know, why am I here? And golly, does anybody really care that Leanne exists or that Deb exists? And, you know, to be honest with you, those things have popped up for me in my life. And so when you hear me share those, Deb, you know, it's kind of fun because I hear the sweet little giggle and I can almost see your head nodding, right? I can totally just see that and the sweet little tinkle in your eye. And so what comes up for you when I share that?
Well, I think that we all do struggle with that kind of question, that are those kinds of questions, who are we? I think that, you know, I am 44 years old, and I'm still on the journey of finding out who I am and who I belong to. And, you know, growing up, it may feel like we belong to our parents, right? We belong to our family, and then maybe there's some period of time where we are on our own but still are closely associated with our family of origin, and then at some point, if we become married, I got married, and then, you know, at that point, do I belong to my husband not in a traditional submissive sense, but I share a life with him, and now my kids, it sort of feels like sometimes I belong to them, and they order me around sometimes. So that's a very real question. It's a very real question. Who am I and who do I belong to?
Yeah, exactly. And so, Deb, when you shared all that, I just love that. And I love your honesty in that. And, you know, oftentimes the way we answer that simple question, who are you? Oh, my goodness, it can define our life. It can define our life purpose. It can define the way that we even pursue and perceive our dreams and our goals and the world around us. And, you know, a person's identity really is critical to our level of self-understanding. And so go ahead.
Well, no, I was just going to say, I think that a lot of times we allow ourselves to be defined by forces outside of ourselves rather than figuring out who we are for ourselves. I think that a lot of times our parents can define who we are, who they think we should be, with the best of intentions, perhaps. Or I think that our, you know, societal expectations can define us, or we can allow them to define us. Our job and the work that we do, whether it's paid or unpaid, can
absolutely we get a tremendous, you know, amount of identity. Yeah, from the voices, right? From the voices that we hear all around us, whether they be our parents, it could be our bosses, it could be our children speaking into our lives, because the voices all around us are pretty loud, aren't they?
They are very loud, and some of them are, you know, voices that maybe are not external anymore, but they're so ingrained in us that it's that we still listen to them, voices from our childhood, from our past. And some of them may be our own voices, you know, that we have, that have other things have influenced us to cause us to say, I'm not good enough, I'm never going to amount to anything, I don't have what it takes to pursue my dream, so why bother? You know, those kinds of voices might be part of what we allow to define us.
Absolutely. Very well said. And so, Deb, when in your life have you allowed a voice to define you that really wasn't, let me rephrase that. let me start over. When have you heard a voice in your life that really encouraged you?
I have been very fortunate. There have been many voices in my life that were encouraging. Many teachers growing up. We grew up going to church, and so a lot of positive influences from the people in our church. My family's voices were often encouraging. Not always, as in, and I think most families, if not all families, the voices weren't always encouraging. But there have been many, many positive, encouraging voices in my life. Interestingly, though, and I don't know how common this is, but it seems that for me, I tended to focus more on the negative voices, and I tended to think that I think I have some perfectionist tendencies, and if there were, you know, 44 encouraging voices and one critical voice, I paid attention more to the critical voice and wanted to make that one the 45th positive voice. And so I, over the course of my life, have tended to listen to those negative voices that would occasionally come up. And it's been a struggle for me to try to not give as much weight to those voices. And what I've realized, Leanne, over the past year or two, is this idea that I kind of let in with, that I fundamentally, most importantly, above and beyond anything else, I am a child of God, and that the God that is my father and parent is a God who loves me unconditionally, no matter what, regardless of what I do or don't do, regardless of what I say or don't say. I am a beloved child of this God, and that for me has become the center of who I am.
Beautifully said. And so how has that realization for you that you are a child of God, how has that impacted the way that you view, well, motherhood? Let's start there. Actually, let's go back. let's play with this just a little bit. So when you were sharing about who you are, your identity, when you kind of introduced yourself to all of us, you had shared that you were a daughter. And so how has your view of, or your identity being solid in your God, your creator, how has that affected your view of being a daughter?
It has actually had a very profound effect on it, on me. I think, like many children, grew up wanting my mother's approval, my parents' approval, but particularly my mother's approval, and even into adulthood, I wanted my mom's approval. I wanted to know that she was proud of me. I wanted to know that she thought what I was doing was good, and I think it's perhaps a generational thing to be a little stingy with those kinds of words sometimes and affirmations. And so that was sort of a niggling desire of my heart. And, you know, when I became a mother, I wanted to say to my mom, don't you think I'm a good mom? Am I doing a good job as a mom? And I was a little bit afraid to do that. But so this need for my mom's approval or desire for my mother's approval, even as a grown woman and as a mother myself, that lingered until really pretty recently when I have owned much more deeply, I believe, and claimed my identity as first and foremost a beloved child of God. And that has allowed me to let go, to a large degree, let go of my desire for my own mother's approval, because I feel like if I can continue to claim and live into this identity as a beloved child of God, then what happens beyond that becomes much less significant, it carries much less weight and potential burden.
Right. I totally get what you're saying. And you know, what I even hear coming through is that the voices that you are able to listen to now, you can look to the truth of Scripture and what God says about you, and not
right.
just what other people are saying and the voices that are kind of floating around the world in which you live, and how your ears hear, how your eyes see, and how your heart perceives what's going on, that no longer defines you. Other people's
right.
opinion of you no longer defines you. That you're really,
right.
you know, kind of clinging to, what does God say about me?
Right. That's what I'm striving to hang on to and keep as central and foremost in my heart and in my mind. You know, I feel like Jesus modeled that for us several years ago as I was taking a little mini retreat, just a 24-hour time by myself, and I was reading through the Gospel of Luke, and one of the things that struck me that I still remember now was just that Jesus, one of the things that sets him apart from the rest of us, or most of the rest of us, is that he knew who he was. He knew what his purpose was and his mission on this earth and his identity. He knew who he was and who he belonged to and why he was here. And he didn't seem affected by the people around him, whether it was their praise. People were praising him at times and cheering for him and telling him how wonderful he was. Or there were other times when people wanted to push him over the cliff and people were furious and angry and, you know, as we know, wanted to kill him. But he seemed unswayed by that. It was like that was what was happening on the surface, but he was at this level underneath where he knew who he was. And you know, I kind of keep him as my model in that respect, where I'm certainly not there, but I would like to be there where I know who I am as this beloved person of God, child of God, and that I can operate more and more from that place.
Absolutely. And, you know, one thing that really came up for me when you were sharing all of that is, you know, that just that central place, that we can operate from that central place. And, you know, as we look at all the different circumstances that are going on in our world right now, everything from the movie stars to, you know, all the current event issues with all the hot button topics that are floating around out there that are trying to define, right, who we are and what makes us tick, and the culture around us really does try to speak into our life and change the way we view ourselves. And so on a real practical note, I'm going to ask kind of one of those talk to me, tell me straight, walk your talk with me, Deb, questions, is how do you practically how do you, as a woman and a beloved child of God, practically tune out the voices that are floating all around this world that could try to define you and derail you from really, you know, walking in that confidence of who you are in Christ?
Yeah. Well, first, my first response to that is that it's very difficult. It's an ongoing, constant effort. You know, I try to, one thing I do is try and put myself in the presence of people, friends, who will keep me honest, who will affirm, you know, that identity as well as for me as well as for themselves. You know, I certainly belong to a church community here in Los Alamos.
Oh, I just lost you there. You want to repeat that for me?
I belong to a church.
I think, listeners, we have just lost our lovely guest.
Am I back? Am I here?
You are back.
Okay.
All right, great. Yeah, go ahead and shoot that one more time for us, Deb, please. I'm sure it was very, we don't want to miss anything that you had to share there. So,
well, so I was just saying, I you know, I try to surround myself with people and friends who support this way of thinking and who can affirm, who can speak sort of, you know, almost sometimes in contrast to the cultural messages. And I was just talking with a friend yesterday, in fact, about feeling like, oh, I need to exercise more, you know, the listening to the poor cultural messages of identity coming from, you know, how healthy and fit you are and how skinny you are and feeling like I wasn't falling into that trap, you know, and feeling like, oh, I need to lose a few pounds. And she and I had a conversation about, you know, it's not about what the number on the scale says. It's about being healthy. And, you know, we want to set a good example for our kids. We want, you know, my daughter is 11 and she's starting to think about what she looks like and what do other people look like and what's the body shape and size. And so I want my friends and the people around me to remind me that these, some of the messages of society are not, you know, they're not what we need to be about. And so that's definitely one thing. And, you know, for me, part of it is listening for God's voice and trying to find some moments of stillness and quiet and reminding myself that I'm beloved, that I am loved regardless. You know, Leanne, that I've taken some time in recent months to do some writing about different ways that God expresses that each of us are God's beloved. And that's another outlet for me. Another way that I remind myself is by sharing that message or, you know, with others about them being God's beloved, regardless of what's going on or what has happened in their life or where they've been.
Absolutely. And I have known you for many years now, and we have had some of the most amazing conversations. And to watch you bloom and blossom, and you allowing me to bloom and blossom right along with you in our friendship and our beautiful conversations, I have watched that transformation in you and have seen the gift within you totally come out, and watching some of your dreams get realized as you interact with your children and your husband and the people in your community, your friendships, and then to see this writing that you're doing really blossom and you know, come forth in a way of you just really expressing yourself and claiming your identity and mm-hmm. really allowing God to define you and really taking a really deep look to see how other people allow different things in their lives to define them, and that most important voice of God just to really come in and speak to our very hearts and souls and be very real. Because listeners, as you well know, as well as Deb and I know, there are, like we have shared already, there are plenty of voices out in this world that want to define us. And if we can hold on to that center and be defined by Christ, then that definition and that reality will determine how we live and the voices that we listen to and how it does define what we do and how we spend our time, our talents, and our treasures. And, you know, so Deb, tell us a little bit about your writing and this exciting new thing that 2013 kind of brought to the forefront to you, for you and your family.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have been doing some writing. I used to work, Leanne, as the youth pastor. I served as the youth pastor at the United Church here in Los Alamos for several years before my first child was born. And when I was leaving that position due to the birth of our second child, I was working with the middle school and high school kids, among other things, and I wanted to leave them with something. I thought if they...
Oh, I just lost you. Try that again, Deb.
Okay,
when
I was leaving my position at the United Church, I wanted to... I felt like I composed a letter, and it was a love letter from God. And I thought, well, if these kids haven't taken anything else away from my time with them over the past few years, this is what I would like to leave them with. And it was a love letter from God. And I then shared that in different contexts. A friend eventually a few years ago said, that would make a great children's book. And so I took that love letter from God and broke it up into pages and had my daughter, Sarah, do the illustrations for that. She's a very gifted young artist, and so she did the illustrations, and we shared it with family and friends. And people were very receptive to it and loved it. And then my son, Ryan, the middle child, said, well, I want to do a book with you. You have to write a book that I can illustrate. And so I was at home one afternoon when the kids were at school, and I was just resting, and which is a rare moment in my life, actually. but I felt like this phrase came into my head, which I believe was a spirit given, and it's become the title of this little book that I've written, which is called "What Does God See When God Looks at Me?" And the one book that I actually have self-published is oriented for kids. But as you know, Leanne, I've done other bits of writing. I've done that, What Does God See When God Looks at Me, for women. And I've done one for men. And I've done one for tweens that I've had my daughter Sarah help me with. And I've done a number of them. And the whole idea is that we may wonder, what does God see when God looks at me? Does God see the clothes that I wear? Does God see the food that I eat? You know, does God see the scar from when I fell when I was 7 years old? And then it gets into more internal things. Does God see when I screw up and I'm embarrassed? Does God see the guilt that I feel over this bad thing that I did? And so much more into internal things that in this, you know, in the case of the book, kids may wonder about or may be embarrassed about or ashamed about. And the whole message of the book is that there's a refrain throughout this kids' book in particular that says, God sees it all, and I hear God call, you are my beloved. And so just this repeated message that God knows everything about us. God knows what we've done, what we haven't done, what the things that we may be ashamed of, and God knows, you know, God knows our fears and our struggles, and God loves us. God, I believe that's the most important message that God has for each one of us, that I love you. You are my beloved. I love you. Let me love you, and let that love transform you.
Beautifully said, and thank you so much for sharing with us. And, you know, as you were sharing all of those beautiful moments and realizations that you have put into your book, and listeners, I just want to encourage you, we're going to give you some contact information at the end if this book has piqued your interest. and you'd like to know more about it, we are going to provide that for you. So I wanted to make sure I shout that out there to you. But, you know, I'm very moved by that story, because oftentimes, Deb, that I have found even in my own life, there has never been a human being in my life that I could point to and say that that person loves me unconditionally. And when I say unconditionally, I mean warts and all, that they love me no matter what I say, no matter what I do, no matter where I came from, no matter if I have done my hair that day, if I've put on a couple extra pounds, if my makeup is just right, if I've said just the right thing, read the right books, worn the right clothes, any of that. I cannot, in my 48 years of life, I cannot think of one person that I could look to and say, you know what, they have loved me completely, unconditionally. Can't do it. And so when I think, boy, and I look at Jesus and what he did for me and how much he loves me, and that is the one now that I can look to. And I know that at the very core of my being that he does accept me. Because in the heart of every human being, right, is the desire to be loved and cherished, honored and accepted, right, for who we are. And, you know, to know that God does that for us when all other humans would fail us, oh, my goodness, that just rocks my cage. And it rocks my world, and it changes the way that I look at every circumstance that has ever been put before me. And so before we dive into our next topic, Deb, I do want to let our listeners know the number to call in if they would like to call in, because we do have some live listeners right now. And so, listeners, if you would like to call in, this is the number, 646-716-9397, and we would absolutely love to hear from you if you desire to share your thoughts or questions with us on this beautiful topic of identity. And I also just want to let our listeners know some of the upcoming shows that we have. Tomorrow, 9/6 at 1 p.m., we have Train Your Brain and Up Your Game with Coach Mandy. And then on Sunday, 9/8, we have Mark My Words with Life and Business Coach Mark Shaw coming up then. And then on 9/10, we have Fun to Fortune with Coach Jeff on starting up successes for entrepreneurs. And I will actually be on again on September the 19th, and I'm going to be chatting with a fellow coaching colleague, Jennifer Cole, on healing from broken trust in our significant relationships. And that's going to be at 10 a.m. again on September 19th, and that's when you can walk your talk again with Leanne. And so, Deb, you know, it's interesting, as I was even reading these upcoming shows, you know, Training Your Brain, Up Your Game, Marking Our Words, Startup Success for Entrepreneurs, and, you know, Healing from Broken Trust in Our Relationship. It's just a really huge reminder for me that all of these different events in our lives, right, they really do set forth our identity. And where are we claiming that from? Where are we getting it from? And, and so when you were writing this book and talking to your kiddos, because we're both pretty passionate, you and I, about parenting, about motherhood, and about wifehood. And, you know, we both come from, you know, really different stories. I come from an adoptee background and really had a lot of issues, right, in my past about identity. I asked those questions, you know, who am I? Who am I? Do you love me? Where did I come from? What does this look like? You know, all of those things come up, you know, and parenting, I've heard from my kiddos. You know, who are we, Mommy? You know, who are the persons? You know, what does that look like, and how does that define us? And so some of your motivation for writing this beautiful children's book that you have written, you know, where did all that, I mean, I obviously know where some of that came from, right? You and I have had some conversations, but our listeners haven't been, you know, real privileged to hear about, you know, what really makes your heart beat, and why was this message of identity in Christ so important for you to get out into print?
Well, I think it has become more and more the central message of my life, I think. I have been, it has become so meaningful to me, this idea of claiming, finding your identity as beloved. And like you said, that can free you. I think we spend a lot of time trying to figure out who we need to be in order to be accepted. Is it through our behaviors? Is it through our dress? Is it through our job, the work we do? You know, is that something that gives us value in society? And in my case, I think there was a lot of proper behavior. I was always very good, and I did very well in school, and people liked me. But was I really being real? And as you've talked about, being authentic, and was I being who God made me to be, or was I being someone that people needed me to be so that I would be liked and so that I would be accepted and so that I wouldn't have people upset with me? And not that those things are bad necessarily, but I think it eventually led to sort of this dissonance within me, like, who am I really? I don't even know who I am myself, because I've been just trying to figure out who other people need me to be or say that I should be. And so with my own kids, I guess as a mom, I have struggled with trying to find the balance between, wanting to raise them as people that are polite and are respectful and know how to behave in certain situations, but at the same time wanting to help them discover for themselves who they are, who God made them to be. And I feel like, I believe that when someone, like you were talking about, this sense of unconditional love, and the reason we can't find that in any human person in our lives is that we are all flawed. None of us, as hard as we may try, can love perfectly.
Okay, Deb, just lost you again.
Oh, I'm right here.
Always, really, you know, this is interesting because this message, listeners and Deb, this message is one that absolutely has to be so communicated. And it's interesting how we are getting cut off at these key moments that, you know, these are very poignant messages, and we're just not going to let anything derail us from this conversation. And if we have to repeat, it is so good with me, because this message does need to come across so loud and clear. So many of us in life have let the toxic thoughts of other people define us. We've let the toxic thoughts of how other people view the different circumstances that we've gone through in our lives define us. And so, Deb, we're just going to stop that, aren't we? Right here, we just claim it, that this message of identity and really understanding who we are, why we're here, and that understanding and that true belief and value that we are loved by the creator of this universe. That message is not going to get drowned out by any technical difficulty today. And so we're going to stand against that in unity together. And so go ahead and share that thought again with us, please.
Well, I think what I was saying was just that, you know, I don't want to raise my children to be who I need them to be. I want to raise them fundamentally to number one, to know that they are so deeply and utterly loved. Regardless.
That they are undeniably loved. Is that what you shared, Deb?
That they are what?
Yeah, that they are undeniably loved.
Yeah. Undeniably, yes, unconditionally, profoundly and eternally loved, number one. Number two, I want to help them discover who God made them to be, not who I need them to be, not who their teachers at school need them to be, not who you know, our neighbors or any, you know, anybody, even our church needs them to be, but who they were made to be. And I believe that that is the easiest, that's done the most easily in the context of knowing that you're loved, regardless of who you are and what you've done or not done, regardless of anything. You, as a individual, unique human being, are loved, period, because that's who God is, not because that's who we are, but that's who God is, and that's what God does. And it's our, you know, what we have to do is to accept it. We don't earn it. There's nothing we can do to earn it. There's nothing we can do to make God love
right.
us anymore.
Yeah, you know what, I'm just going to, just because you cut out there a second, I'm going to go ahead and just jump in a little bit. And, you know, it is our job to receive it, isn't it? And to receive that love and to welcome it into our lives. And, you know, when we are writing the story of our lives, whose pen are we giving over to let them write the story of our lives? You know, God is the ultimate creative author of our lives. And when we turn that pen over to somebody else, like our teachers, like our parents, you know I was guilty of that in raising my kids. I had an agenda for my kids. I have to confess that. It wasn't right, but I did. And I know my parents had an agenda for me at different times in my life. And, you know, trying to fit into somebody else's box is not a healthy place to be, because we're never able to be authentic and we're always trying to please somebody else and not being able to be, you know, our true and authentic selves of who we really are. And, you know, as we try to bring that out, I'd like to move this conversation just a little bit, Deb, because I can't even believe, we have like 19 minutes or so left. This is going by so fast. And so, listeners, if you have a desire to call in, please call in 646-716-9397 and chime in with your thoughts on this, because I know every one of us has a thought and all of us have a very important voice in this area of identity. But, you know, Deb, I want to chat just a second and give us some real practical ways that we can help others release their true identity within themselves and recognize their identity and release it. Because, you know, other people are not going to have the same opinions that we have, right? And they're not. But, you know, the fundamental opinion that we all need to go from, that core, is realizing who we are in the Lord, and that we are loved unconditionally, and that all of our thoughts and our actions, our dreams and our aspirations can fund a lot of that. And because of that, it makes us unstoppable. It gives us the words and the voice to speak up for many of the different causes that we see in our world today, kind of wherever that goes. And so by really helping and encouraging our children to be their individual selves, like you were so eloquently sharing, how important is that? And one way that I see really helping our kiddos and the key significant people in our lives is really respecting them and really listening to them and allowing them to share their hearts and being really curious about what's making them tick. And so what other things, you know, areas, different, oh my goodness, I'm at a loss for words right now because I'm just so captured and captivated by what you were sharing. But what are some other ways that you can see that we can really encourage our children and raise awareness in this issue of really allowing people to claim their identity? What's something else that we can do besides respecting them and being curious?
Well, I think with my own kids, there have been times when I have wanted them to try something and they have, I think, felt...
Hey, Deb, you just cut out. Yeah, you just cut out again. I'm not sure. kind of crazy. So I'm just going to lean over and let you know that it, for whatever reason, that cut out again.
Okay. So I think that we've tried to let our kids have a, you know, a large amount of say in what activities they would like to try and not try. My daughter, for example, I was a big soccer player when I was young, and when she was 4 years old, I wanted her to play soccer, and so she played soccer for a couple of years and really didn't like it, and that was okay. And then she tried basketball, and she really didn't like it, and she tried softball, and she really didn't like it, and I was a big, those were all the things that I did growing up, and I thought, gosh, surely she's going to enjoy those, and she tried dance, and she didn't really like it, and then she tried gymnastics.
Hey, hang on there, Doug. Shirley, she what? We lost again at Shirley.
She was trying. She finally tried gymnastics, and she loved it. And so I think, you know, with kids, a very practical thing is to not expect that they will necessarily like what you like, and to let them try and find what they like for themselves. My son Ryan is about to start playing the cello in fourth grade, and I think he was influenced to try the cello because I said, oh, Ryan, I love the sound of the cello. Don't you want to try the cello? And he's trying it, but certainly he will know that he has the freedom to not like the cello, and you know, let him have his own voice in saying, yeah, this isn't really my thing,
not really his thing. And you know, I'm really encouraged by what you're sharing, Deb, and you know, really, listeners, and this is speaking to me. You know, it's really let the people around you be who they are and don't try to put them in a box. Because, you know, there's this whole beautiful world that we have been given to explore, all of these wonderful opportunities that are before us. Whether you live in a small town or a big city, there is all kinds of opportunities for us. And to give somebody else the freedom and provide them with the courage and encouragement to step out of the standard, ordinary box and step into a beautiful experience that we can't even imagine for them. And oftentimes, God puts those desires, those little seeds in our heart to try. And if we stifle that voice when it comes out of our children, our spouses, or our friends, if we shut that voice down again, oftentimes that makes them very afraid to even speak it again. And so if we can learn early on to allow each one of us to be the individuals that we were created to be, it's a much more glorious path. And that excitement, like you said, when Sarah, you know, gave up one thing for another and how much more she enjoyed that. Because we were created with very specific DNA. God's really creative. We were created with all of this beauty that makes us who we are, that makes Deb who she is, it makes Leanne who she is. And to have the freedom to creatively express all of that in a really God-honoring and a self-honoring way is a real gift that we can give our kids and the people around us that we love. You know, it's interesting. I found a sweet little poem that I just want to share real quick with us, Deb, and get your thoughts on this sweet little part. But it's, who am I? You may well ask. I really wish I knew. If I am not myself at all, then maybe I am you. To discover who I really am is really quite a task. Maybe I am someone else who wears a funny mask. I strive so hard to know myself, to discover the real me. My thoughts and feelings all confused, yet still I cannot see what makes me tick, what makes me feel so very special and unique. My purpose in this glorious world is what I truly seek. And, you know, that really deeply resonates with me, and I think it resonates with a lot of us if we really stop and take time to listen. Because as I work as a coach, as I walk shoulder to shoulder with my friends, my colleagues, my family, my husband, I see that question coming out a lot in us. I see us asking, who am I? If I'm really not myself and I don't know who I am, then maybe I'm going to let you define me. Mm-hmm. And then I'm all of a sudden picking up areas or character qualities or phrases even of other people instead of really embracing who I am and who I was created to be. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think sometimes, I know for me in my life, I've had to have those really quiet, still moments where I have some personal time to reflect and really listen to the very heart of my Father God as he continues to pour into me and allows me to reveal, kind of peel back the layers of Leanne and peel back the layers, I call it like an onion, to reveal the core of who I really am. And mm-hmm. I think it's taken me many, many years to peel mm-hmm. off the layers that other people have put on me, mm-hmm. right? As mm-hmm. And really to reveal who I really am and what's really important to me and what is my purpose and my voice and my inspiration to fully mm-hmm. walk an authentic, very vulnerable in real life. And it's a mm-hmm. struggle every day to do that.
It is a struggle. I think, you know, a lot of times we're afraid to reveal too much of ourselves, even to our closest loved ones, because what if they see this some ugly part of us or some part of us that they don't like or that is unacceptable to them? Are they going to leave? Are they going to walk away? Are they going to not like us so much or not love us? And so it's a scary prospect, I think, to be vulnerable and not only to discover those parts of ourselves.
Yeah, not only, yeah. Hey, Deb, you just cut out on us again. Sorry about that. We're not going to let you lose your identity or your voice today, so we're not losing it. So could you repeat for us again what you just shared? I know, isn't that awful?
Saying that it's a scary thing to not only to discover and to admit and acknowledge the parts of ourselves to ourselves, but to share them with even sometimes the people who are closest to us, because what if it causes them to say, ooh, I don't like that part of you, or oh, wow, that's not very attractive, or oh. And so it's a risky thing to be vulnerable and to be authentic with other people.
Right, and let people see who we really are.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who we are at our very core. And I think, you know, that's a voice that really does, and a message that really does need to get out to this world. And that's part of why I do what I do. That's part of why I am doing these radio programs and, you know, really interviewing people who are walking their talk, who are ordinary people doing extraordinary things. And Deb, everything that I know about you is extraordinary. You know, you're a woman that I hold in very high regard, and I'm really honored that you were able, you know, to spend this time and talk about this identity issue with us, because, you know, oftentimes people really do have a very false sense of identity. There's a lot of insecurities out there. Mm-hmm. There is a lot of people who don't take time to even really figure out what they like, what they really want out of life, and what is their purpose here? Why are they on this earth? Why are they walking this? Why did God allow them to mm-hmm. be gifted into this world? And so, you know, by even just raising this topic today on our radio program, it does give our listeners and each one of us just an opportunity to stop just a second and take a look at the life that we are living. And have we allowed somebody else to hold the pen? Mm-hmm. Have we allowed God to hold the pen? Mm-hmm. Are we embracing fully the life that we have been given to live? Or are we just kind of going through the motions every day? Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. I know in my own life, there have been seasons of my life where I wasn't sure where, if I was coming in or going out. There mm-hmm. have been seasons where I'm like, what in the world am I doing? And, you know, kind of feeling a little bit confused on that. And so, you know, to even just raise this awareness of we really can claim our identity and who we really are, and taking mm-hmm. that step forward to really stop and look and see what or who are we allowing to define us. So mm-hmm. I really love that. And, you know, we talked about how we can encourage other people to do that, one being that respect, that listening to them, and really providing a real confidential and safe place. And it sounds like you do that for your kids. And, you know, we really need to do that for each other. Listeners, you know, my goodness, to provide a safe place for someone to share their heart without any judgment or condemnation, but just really let them share, that's a really important gift that we can give somebody else. It's a treasure, and oftentimes it is not, you know, really welcomed. I know I don't welcome it in people. That's an area I can sure grow in, of really providing that safe place, that non-judgmental, and setting aside our agendas, right, that we have for other people, and step back and get out of our own way, and really stay conscious that we are participating in our own lives. That's a huge thing. And just really acknowledging and validating our children, our spouses, and our friends to be all that they can be. Be their best cheerleader. This world's tough enough, isn't it, Deb?
Right.
With all the things that are going on. And, you know, to be the cheerleader, there's a time and a place, right? To say, hey, you know, stop and think about it for a minute. But oftentimes we need that voice, that affirmation of who we really are, and to be reminded of that. And, you know, one way that I really try and do that in my life is have people in my life for some accountability. I have my personal time that I spend, just me and God kind of hashing out life. Sometimes they're not pleasant or fun, but always something good comes out of it in the end. He has a very gentle way of doing that, and with me, as I know that that's a deep core belief of yours as well. And, you know, Deb, we have about 4 minutes left in our time together. I still cannot believe how fast and rapid our time together has gone. And this topic of identity, it's been beautiful to share all of this with you. And I want to give you an opportunity to let our listeners know how they can find your book and hear more about what God sees when he looks at us.
Well, thank you, Leanne. It's been a wonderful pleasure and privilege to share this time with you and have this conversation that others have perhaps been able to eavesdrop on. But yes, certainly my book, I was able to self-publish it through a website called createspace.com, which is affiliated with Amazon. So right now the only way that people could buy the book, well, there are two ways. One would be through Amazon.com. If they look up my name, even just if they look up Church Worley, which is my maiden name and married name, Church Worley, they should be able to find the book. Or if they look, just look up that title, What Does God See When God Looks at Me, they should be able to find the book. So it is available on Amazon. If anyone is here local in Los Alamos and would like a copy, I do have some at my house that I would that they could purchase from me. And I would be happy, Leanne, to give my email address, if that would be all right.
Absolutely, Deb. Please do that for us, because I'm sure all of this conversation has generated a lot of beautiful moments in people's thoughts, and so I definitely want them to be able to get a hold of you.
Okay, well, my email address is churchlady LA for Los Alamos at yahoo.com.
Excellent.
And I would certainly be happy to hear anyone's comments or thoughts or questions if they would like to email me.
Excellent. Thank you, Deb, for sharing that. And listeners, you know, I just have a couple of closing thoughts for us. And then if we have some time at the end, Deb, if you want to, you can share a few more excerpts from your book if you'd like, after I do some closing comments on this whole identity piece. You know, we have talked a lot about identity today. We've talked a lot about our Creator God and the love of Jesus Christ and about connecting with that source and allowing him to define our identity. And it's been a real privilege to be able to share with all of you on this topic. And if you have any questions at all about what that means, if it's a new concept for you, you've never heard or thought about, and you want to have some of those questions answered, please feel free to contact me, Leanne Parsons, the Walk Your Talk Coach. You can reach me at the Walk Your Talk Coach at gmail.com. You can also reach me on my website at walkyourtalkwithleanne.com. And my phone number is area code 505-412-1817. And I would be honored to share my faith story with you and what all of that means to me, as well as I'm sure Deb would also. And so, you know, as we think about identity, you know, I just want to encourage all of us to not let other people define us. You know, there's a lot of negative voices. There's a lot of things that, and positive voices in our world that can really speak into our very hearts. And it causes us to lose our own voices. It causes us to take us apart from our very own dreams. And then we stop even knowing who we really are. And I think in some ways we can stop and take just a moment to just really embrace it. We can understand that we can walk in freedom. We can have this joyful journey. We can feel fully alive and fully appreciated and enjoy every moment when we understand who gives us the strength and who allows the sun to come up in the morning and sets it every day, and who gives us breath and breathes into our lives. And, you know, some of you may have different beliefs than that, and that's great, and I honor that, and I welcome that. And wherever you get your source of strength and hope, let it be a voice that speaks to you in love and encouragement. As Deb and I have both found, we find that love and encouragement from Jesus Christ, and we're not afraid to say that and to stand with him in this journey called life and to allow him to fully, wholly love us and create clarity on who we really are, what we really want, and why we are here. So, Deb, I'm going to turn it back over to you. Listeners, thank you very much for joining us. You can tune in again and walk your talk with Leanne on September the 19th at 10 a.m. Mountain Time. I look forward to sharing with each of you then. Deb, we do have a few more moments. If those of us who are wanting to continue to listen and hear a little bit more from your book, feel free to share with us as much or as little of your darling book that you would like to.
Okay, thank you, Leanne. I will read a couple of little sections. The very beginning starts like this. What does God see when God looks at me? Does God see my belly, my nose, my knees? Does God see my freckles? Does God see my warts? Does God know when I'm wearing my favorite shorts? Does God see my fingernails filled with dirt?
Oh, lost you, Deb.
Okay, am
hey,
I back?
I lost you again.
Okay. All right. Am I...
The freckled knees, yes. Take it from the freckled knees.
Does God see my fingernails filled with dirt? Does God see the grape jelly stain on my shirt? And then the refrain, God sees it all. And I hear God call, you are my beloved. And now I'm going to skip to a middle section that says, what does God see when God looks at me? Does God know that I really don't like broccoli? Does God see when I get bullied by some mean kids at my school and how that makes my stomach hurt even though I try to...
I don't think you're coming through again.
Yeah.
So weird.
Okay.
So I guess, listeners, for whatever reason, we're having some technical difficulties here at the end. God does see every bit of you, whether you like broccoli or not, whether you skinned your knee or not. Deb, I just want to encourage all of our listeners, go get Deb's book. Read it to your kids. Read it to yourself. Let it speak to your heart, transform your life, and allow you the courage to walk your talk every day of your life. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in with us today. I wish you well. I challenge you to stop and take a look at who you are giving the pen to as the story of your life gets written every day. Again, thanks for joining us on Walk Your Talk with Leanne. It has been a delight and a privilege. I love you all. Have a great day and live epically. Bye-bye. Okay, we're going to...